Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I mean, this is one way you really wake up the city is with beats like this. I mean, this is
Is this Beats by Dre? What is this?
This is Tech Booty.
Tech Booty.
Yeah. And you can thank the licensing act for that. Yeah. That is hilarious. This makes you want to go back to like 1982 and hang out with like Robert Redford.
Pop a glow stick in your mouth and dance around some nightclub, right? And foam.
I mean, whatever you got to do it. I don't know, but this is intense.
I wanted a foam party for our wedding reception, and my wife said no. Too many people would fall.
We are in studio now, joined with a special guest. Mr. Frank Caliendo joins us. Just hit that little red button, and you're live.
I'll do what I want.
Okay, fair enough. This is going great.
The first meeting of me, you were real excited to meet me in person, and now it's over with.
And now you're like, oh, you really met this guy in person? It's like, you know, everybody like wants to meet you, and then they meet you, and they're like, God, that guy sucks.
It's over.
You
know? Shorter.
Yeah, they say don't meet your heroes. Yeah. I found out in 10 seconds.
Yeah. And
this guy's a bag.
And don't even meet your people parallel to you in the business.
Yeah.
That's all.
How's the comedy biz going? You've been all over the damn place lately, haven't
you?
Yeah,
I've been working on a lot of new stuff. That's more what it is. So doing the clubs, traveling with a few friends, and then writing as we go, and then trying the stuff out on the stage at night. Mm-hmm. And it's been like, people are like, where was the new stuff? I'm like, it was in there. They're like, well, it worked. I'm like, yeah, better than I thought it was going to. I was like, way better than I'd expected to. But I have always, I have ways of getting out of everything, whether it's Gruden popping. And I'll tell you what, man, I thought that joke would have been better. Mm. Morgan Freeman. And that's when they realized not all the punchlines hit the same way.
That's right.
Or explain it as John Madden. You know, I have all these outs that look like I did a joke a certain way. And when it bombs, I can just, like, people are like, you have a crutch. No, I have a full wheelchair. I got, I'm being carted in and out of the hospital. It's a stretcher, man. I couldn't think of the word stretcher. That's how early it is for me right now.
Right, very early.
So,
right, yeah.
It's not even that early. I don't know what it is. It's just the last, as I've been getting on the road.
Well, you're closer to 50 now. And 7
I'm over 50. Oh, I'm 51.
Oh, okay, so 7 yeah. o'clock in the morning, that's about noon, now.
Yeah, that's three tinkle breaks.
Yeah.
That's three tinkle breaks. And, it's one of those things where just was a little foggy this morning, but getting here, we missed a turn coming in, and then we drove all the way around the neighborhood. We were going to stop at Target, wasn't open yet, but it was one of those things where we're just driving around. Like Patrick, who's with me, who's one of the guys on the show and writing. I was like, he's like, oh gosh. I was like, we got plenty of time. We're good. But anytime I get lost, that throws me off a little bit too. But I'm gradually getting
into
it.
Is that something I'm looking forward to at 51? Is I got to stop at Target at 7 o'clock in the morning?
Well,
and then be devastated that it's closed.
Yeah, yeah. It's over. God. Well, if you're married, yes.
Okay.
That's a to do list kind of thing that you think you're going to get a lot done early.
Because I'm devastated when I get to McDonald's at 10:33.
Really?
Yeah, because they stop serving breakfast at 10:30.
Oh, you get angry and you get in a fight. Is that what happens?
Don't they still give the kid a Happy Meal?
They don't have like a grace period until it's 10:30. Probably. Yeah. It probably stops at 10:30.
Yeah, they shut it down. Hash browns.
They shut that thing down. They switch over the equipment. You're screwed.
And it's funny. They let you keep going too, as if they know that you don't know. You're like, yeah, I'll do the breakfast burrito meal, hot picante. Orange juice is fine. So we're serving lunch. You could have cut me off.
Right. They let you follow. Right. Well, I've been doing a new bit and it's not political, but it's got a political person in it. So don't get mad at me. It's perfect for that. It's Ronald McDonald Trump.
Okay. And we're going to make it great again. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to cut off breakfast much later. We're going to let breakfast go. Breakfast is going to go to noon because there's a lot of people who can't have. And then because there's some bad guys out there. There's the Hamburglar. rabble. He's stealing burgers. And we've got good people too. We've got great people on our side. We've got Mayor McCheese. He's got a cheeseburger head. We've got Officer Big Mac and Elon McMuffin. And Elon McMuffin's going to be available till noon. It's going to be great. And we're going to make the Playland great again. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah, so it fits right in. That's it.
We also got all the ice cream machines going to be fixed.
Are they?
They're going to be fixed. You're going to be able to get ice cream anytime, even before noon.
There's a website where you can go and see if your ice cream machine
is
working
really?
At McDonald's. Yes, you could. Yes, if you just Google the McDonald's ice cream machine website, and it tells you whether or not it's working.
When people tell you that we don't live in an amazing country, come on.
Yeah, I mean, where else could you get that kind of information?
Incredible.
It really is good stuff. Mayor McCheese, you don't hear from him much. when was the last time you saw Mayor McCheese do anything?
When was the last time you saw a prepared statement from Mayor McCheese? Cheese,
right.
Talking about something that had gone wrong in McDonald's Playland.
We don't see it anymore.
You just don't. You know. So it goes back to my favorite Jim Rome thing of all time is when Dave Thomas died, the founder of Wendy's, and he said, "Today I declared a national holiday in my town, signed Mayor McCheese." And so every time I hear Mayor McCheese, I think of Dave Thomas, the founder of Wendy's, dying and him declaring it a national holiday.
Incredible. How great is that? Finding out. What happened with Dave Thomas? Dude wore the same shirt and tie every day. Made square burgers. Who's making a square burger? The greatest burgers. You get more burger because when you cut off these corners, you're losing a lot. That's what we don't cut corners. That's what they should have been saying. They're at Wendy's. At Wendy's, we don't cut corners like everybody else. Incredible.
He's Wendy. He used lettuce.
Cutting off my paws.
Look like Pippi Longstocking.
Oh my God!
Have a take and don't suck. No, he was going to say something. I cut him off for the bit.
Yeah.
Coming up later on the program. I forgot who we're going to have. We have Liam Neeson.
I don't know who you are. I don't know why I'm calling in.
Let's go to the fax line. Going to faxes. This bit is actually going back 20 years. Ruffle some paper. Ruffle some paper because they don't have any props. Dear Jim, the bit you're doing about the fax machine is incredible. Probably the best bit I've heard in a long time. Signed, Doc Brown. Ridiculous Back to the Future reference. Marty McFly was friends with an old scientist. What is that dude doing hanging around in high school with a weird old guy who invents things and falls off his toilet? Why was he hanging a clock above his toilet? What is he doing? What is he doing in the bathroom hanging a clock? He slips, hits his head, and comes up with this. The flux capacitor, which makes time travel possible. Why didn't the Avengers use that? Would it have been a great idea for Tony Stark to be fixing something in his house himself? Probably why he took him so long to come up with the idea for time travel in the Avengers. Because dude doesn't fix anything around the house himself. If you start fixing your own things, Tony, you have a chance to come up with saving the multiverse much earlier than planned. Thor, Captain America, Black Panther, Hulk. It's just the amount of silence.
I don't want to cut you off. I don't know if you're doing the Rome pause.
I don't know. I didn't know either.
And
I want to know if Loki is a good guy or bad guy. Can never figure that out. Doctor Strange. Great name. He is strange. But he has over 14 million possibilities, and there's only one that saves everybody. And in that, Tony has to die. I'm not sure if I believe Doctor Strange. I think Doctor Strange might just have a problem with Tony Stark. Might be like a Draymond Green type of situation, where he's not getting along and there's punches thrown in practice. Tony Stark will never play for the Golden State Warriors. It just won't happen. Thanos. Dude is huge. Has a blade type of weapon that is apparently as strong as Stormbreaker. How could that be? I can't believe you guys are letting this go on your air.
I can't stop it. I'm dying.
We'll get into some more Strange on the other side on 96.5 The Fan. We're here with Frank Caliendo. I'm Fesco and Dusty, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty. Subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 96.5, Kansas City's FM sports station. 96.5 The Fan.
Right back into it here on 96.5 The Fan, Kansas City. Hope you're having a great Tuesday morning. In studio with us, Frank Caliendo.
And this time he turned on his microphone, which makes it better.
Jim Caliendo. So what brings you, what's Kansas City? You got a show tomorrow night, right?
April 16th? Yeah, is it, what is it, Tuesday? Yeah, yeah. Wednesday night at the Funny Bone in Rosa Grande, what is it?
Zona Rosa. I like Rosa Grande
Rosa
myself.
Grande. Zona Rosa. Dude lives in Arizona. Should have known the Zona and Rosa. I got to get out of the room. I can't stop doing it. Maybe turn into, start doing Mel Kiper Jr., talking about incredible draft stock going here, trying to figure it out. So that's what I'm doing. I'm going to be at the Funny Bone, just like that one show. I'm in Omaha the next night, nice. And that was originally, but that one sold out. So just all there's left for the Funny Bone in Zona Rosa. I had to think of it again.
Grande Rosa.
That's actually a little spot that serves Mexican food right next to Zona.
Right?
Rosa.
Yeah.
Everything Frank comes with white cheese and chips and salsa.
There you go. FrankOnStage.com brings you to everything. I'm not sure of what their actual Funny Bone website is. So just FrankOnStage.com takes you to their website.
Yeah. So the draft is coming up. You've got the Kiper thing down pretty good. He seems like one of those guys that would be pissed about you doing that.
No, he loves it.
Oh, he does?
No, he's great.
Wow, really?
Yeah, when I first met him, it was after I did it on ESPN, he called me and I was like, what's this number from Baltimore?
Yeah.
And he's like, Frank, Mel Kiper Jr., tremendous job. The entire Kiper family sitting around watching what you're doing. Loved every little bit of it. Got the nuances. Got the Todd. Guy drives me crazy with some of his takes. But let me say this. I know you've been to Vegas before. You've been to Vegas. I've never been to Las Vegas. I'm like, you've never been to Vegas? I've never
never been to Vegas. And I know you did like a residency there or something like that. What's a show you want to go see? You ever see Blue Man Group? Are they actual blue people from a different planet? That kind of thing. I heard about the ductwork spinning around, making the noises, the toilet paper rolls in the audience, spraying stuff. The guy eats a bunch of marshmallows, makes a sculpture out of it. Hey, would you go that or do you see Cirque du Soleil? Tremendous ability, bendy people, looking at training, I believe in Canada, but a lot of them from Russia. Low risk, high reward. Check that. High risk, low reward. At the end of the day, I want to be a bendy person hanging from the ceiling, suspended in midair, rotating the opposite way of a circular device. But yeah, so he liked it. And he's like, he always wanted me to do McShay, the impression of McShay. I'm like, he's too normal, man.
Yeah.
He's just kind of a little breathy and just says things directly. You cut him off all the time and go crazy. I mean, it's unbelievable to think that the whole industry was created by Mel Kiper Jr. in his basement with some three-ring binders. And They thought he was nuts for wanting to talk about the draft at the time. That was thought of as insane. And now what is it? The third, fourth most watched sporting event?
We had this discussion last week. Dusty gets mad about that. He's like, that's not a sporting event and it shouldn't
be. It absolutely is. Okay. You think a hot dog is a sandwich? What is? What's going on?
I can be persuaded.
Why do you not think it's why do you not think it's a sport? Because it's not. Well, it is competition. It doesn't pay off immediately. But so, everything is determined over time of what your team is going to be.
So I never said it's not a sporting event.
Oh, so he lied.
I said
okay,
it's not one. I don't think it's one of the most like compelling or one of the top sporting events that we have. Like they were saying it was more than like we had a guy say Super Bowl, NFL draft, Masters. I think the Masters is a more hierarchy sporting event than the NFL draft, because in all reality, we're watching the NFL draft on Friday night or Thursday night. Yeah. Friday, if you're a geek, you're like, all right, I got to see the second round pick. I just want to know.
Well, I mean, I'm only counting the first round.
But it's an event. Because like if we're only counting the first round, like Saturday moving day at the Masters and Sunday Masters. Like I know a lot of people get locked in for that.
What are the ratings on the Masters?
They were great this year. It's the highest since 2017.
But
18.
Is it close to?
No, it won't be for the first night.
Well,
like,
I don't know. It was 17 million, Dusty. That's a big number for golf. I don't know if we're going to get 17 million for the first night of the NFL draft.
I hope we
do. Yeah, we do. We are, Mac. Can you look and see what we've gotten before? Because an NFL game, a rando game with, Nance and Roma. Look out, Jim!
Jim, here we go, Jim.
That gets like 25 million people, right? That's a good number.
That's a Sunday afternoon game.
Is a Thursday night NFL draft where essentially we're reading names. Is that going to get more than an actual game?
I think the beginning of the draft is always what people care about the most. The first maybe five picks. There's
the Tennessee Titans are now on the clock.
Yeah.
There's 15 minutes that you'll never get back.
Right. Well, I mean, it's interesting. I think it's interesting. You see the trajectory of, the amount of emotion that happens in that time, not just for the player, the team, the fans, but opposing teams. I think there's a lot to it. I understand what you're saying. It's a different type of event than what your typical sporting event is.
Right.
But it's important to the future of every franchise. You can look back to drafts and say, this crushed us for years. And the trades that are made, there's trades that happen there too.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not any trades happen in the middle of games.
Right.
Not usually.
Sometimes baseball player switches dugouts.
So you could take it this way with the ratings. So the Masters was up 33% from last year. As Bob had mentioned, they had their largest viewing audience since 2018.
What and was if it, 17 million?
It was averaging 12.7, but its peak on Sunday from 6 to 6:15 or Eastern time, 7 to 7:15, was 19.5 million.
It's huge.
So if you want to take the draft and find its peak on Thursday night, I would assume it's probably going to be higher than 19.5.
Mac just looked at the numbers. 12.5 million watched the first round last year.
Average.
Similar average.
Yep.
But the Masters has more, right? Or no?
This year for now.
It's average.
But this is average was 12.7 last year, like the NFL draft, similar 12. We'll see what it is this year. But its peak was 19.5. So there's two different ways you can look at it. What was the ultimate number at the ultimate time, which for the Masters was 19.5, which
we've said here, the top three picks are where everybody's kind of locked in. Then you kind of get stale and you wait for your team or you kind of judge when they're going to pick. And I would assume that there's probably going to be a very high number for the first hour of the draft, from 6 to 7 or whatever it is. And
maybe then it does. It dissipates because, like, with the Masters, it gets exciting at the end, right?
Unless you're in Columbus, Ohio, and they were watching my show.
Right.
Because I was doing a show that night.
Yeah. Right. Ratings
down. Yeah. Ratings not doing well there. Ratings down in Columbus. No, I know what you're saying. Yeah. There's an element of suspense that starts in the draft, and then it builds in the Masters if it's close. Because that was, I mean, I saw stuff after the fact, but great shots and bad misses, that adds for a lot more. I don't know. Everything seems so magnified nowadays compared to what it was even 10 years ago, because it's not even just what ratings are. It's what are people talking about even while they're not watching and just tweeting about, et cetera, sending stuff to, or just making other people, just trolling people at that time. So there's so many different ways you can watch something. Yeah, I don't know. I do look forward to the draft. I don't look forward to the draft the same way that a lot of my friends do. My friends that are massive. I love football. Mm-hmm. I love the game. Sundays, you know, build the day around Sundays during football
season. Who's your team? Are you a Packer fan?
I grew up a Packer fan, but my family in Chicago, the Italians, which we're only allowed to talk about a third of them for many reasons. That was always the Bears fans. But I live in Arizona, and I know the owner and stuff like that. So I get that empty feeling when the Packers get knocked out of the playoffs. It's still some of that. So, but getting to meet so many players over the years,
you root for people.
I root for people not to get hurt a lot too. There's a lot of that. So, and I've been on the Chiefs bandwagon. I mean, I might be off it a little bit now because it just feels like they're so back every year, but watching Mahomes come up and Andy Reid going from being the guy who couldn't win to the guy who can't be beat. Yeah. I mean, I think that's
I love that.
I mean, I just came up with that now.
Yeah, that's
but,
good.
You know, they struggled at the end of this year, but the it was a weird game. I thought you know, all these theories were going on in my head this year with the Chiefs were maybe they're just holding back all their plays. Because that Andy Reid's kind of done that type of stuff, right? Yeah. He springs stuff on you that you haven't seen all year, and they were just winning all these close games and just scraping by, right? Scraping by with a great record for them. You expect them to just punch everybody in the face. Mm-hmm. But Philadelphia was so good. I mean, I didn't see that. I thought it was going to be a little bit better. But when there's a guy named Caliendo on there, you got to root for him.
Yeah. How much flack do you get? Not flack, but like conversation you get every time they announce that guy's name. I know Nance and Romo do their thing, but just from people, you get asked all the time, I bet, if he's related.
Yeah, whenever that pops up, and I think I've told you guys on the air before, I'm not related to him, but he grew up 10, 15 miles from my house.
Which is
And there's
wild.
Not a lot of Caliendos in Waukesha or Brookfield, Wisconsin area.
There's not.
But, well, there might be more now. I guess we've been populating. But his cousins, his uncle played football, I believe, for Nebraska. And he had another brother that played Division One, or another uncle that played Division One football as well. They played for the Brookfield schools, which is in the same Braveland conference at the time as Waukesha South, where I grew up. And people, Chris and Carrie Caliendo, were the ultimate athletes in Brookfield, Wisconsin. And I was in Waukesha, and they're like, are you related to the Brookfield Caliendos? And like, we're the Waukesha Caliendos, you know, and that's what it's all about. So, and then when I messaged him eventually, he said, you know, it's so funny because it's flipped for me. People always ask him if he's related to me. So if I was related to their family before, because they were more known than me, even though all conference second team, I believe. I was all conference first team catcher.
Nice.
Junior year. Yeah, mm-hmm. Senior year. I struggled. They pitched around me a lot, you know. They
really figured me out.
Yeah, they figured out. They said curveball. That was one they threw at me. Or very fastball. Those two things I struggled with. I was a zero-tool player. That's what I was. But my dad had played in the minor league White Sox organization when he was younger. So
a zero-tool player. You can play for the White Sox right now.
There you go, right?
Yeah, he'd fit right in.
And my dad could play now. He's still playing softball. Give me his stats every time I see him. Went 2-for-2. And by the way, your uncle passed away. Like, should you tell me that he passed away first? Nah, my stats are pretty good, Frank. Yeah. Bad 1,000. Not a lot of guys bad 1,000. No, it's softball. A lot of guys do bad 1,000.
How old's your dad?
He is 80, born in 42. So
he's 83, right?
83, yeah.
Yeah.
And if you ever Google Frank Caliendo, Sun Sox, minor leagues, I believe his batting average of 190 something shows up in the rookie ball or A ball. So
do you have that conversation with your parents? Like, I know with mine, like it's very much a texting world that we live in now. And if the phone rings and it's somebody, the first thing we always say is nobody's dead, you know,
right.
Just calling to check in. You brought your dead uncle up and the 2-for-2 stat. Like, is that one of those
things? That's not even a joke. That's real. No, he literally does that kind of stuff. Like, he gives his softball stats before any other information. Like, my mom has been falling and stuff because she's not in really good health. Mm-hmm. He'll do that. Just got back from Florida where I was all tournament, 3-for-3, turned 2 double plays, and had to be pinch run for, but we won every game. Also, your mom fell and hit her head again.
I mean, like, that's the end of the conversation.
That's the end. Then you text him, then you know, I don't hear from him for like a few weeks until he's got another stat.
Yeah.
Right. Like, that's the way it is. Like, that's what's important to him. And then he can't wait to tell me about it. He comes to shows wearing a shirt with my face on it and gives us, you know, signs pictures of me and him for people.
Oh God!
While giving us softballs, he did commercials in Milwaukee. He did somehow. He talked his way into doing commercials for some type of, maybe it was funeral homes, because that's who sponsors all the softball teams.
Right.
All the softball teams brought to you by Herman Brothers. You never know if you're going to make it to second base, right. Herman Brothers. But he was doing these ads, and people were like, your dad, he does these great ads. I'm like, are they really great? Well, he talks.
Yeah, he's in them.
He thinks they're great. So I don't know. But yeah, that's all that kind of stuff. So
that's crazy.
We were talking about the Masters, and I know you enjoy sport. Like, were you locked in on? I know you had a show. But
no,
you
know what? I don't know. I do get into golf sometimes. I'd been traveling so much that I wasn't even really paying attention this year. And I wish I had been, because everybody's talking about it right now. But it's one of those things where I've just been traveling so much and we're driving each day. I knew it was going on, but didn't really lock in on it at all.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things where I've been doing, we're in a different city pretty much every day. So it's driving 2 or 3 hours, then doing some promo or something like that, and then doing the show. So yeah, I've been out of it for, I gotta do some draft stuff in Green Bay. I gotta lock in and figure out what's.
Are you gonna be there for
I'm gonna
the draft?
Be there. Yeah, some people
that's
are doing
next week. Yeah,
yeah, I'm gonna be there. You know, and I gotta go visit my mom, who apparently after my dad hit 1,000, mm-hmm. She hit her head.
Yeah,
right.
Well.
So, yeah, I gotta lock in and pay attention to that because there's some people that wanted. There's a live thing and then something broadcast too. So we'll see. I gotta lock in a little bit because I want to be topical for that,
mm-hmm.
And it's national, so I gotta really pay attention and prepare more than I usually do.
Yeah, who are you gonna be with on draft night?
I'll be by myself, but the day before I'm doing it's an event. It's actually for Doug Gottlieb and it's Dan Patrick.
Okay,
so it's Dan Patrick doing it, and it's for Gottlieb's UW Green Bay NIL, I think, and stuff like that.
They got to find some wins before they find some money.
You know, college basketball, you got to buy some wins too. So that helps. The money helps buy them. So there's a bunch of stuff going on with that. And so they asked me to do it. And I was like, yeah, it sounds great. And I was working Appleton, which is basically a suburb. It's not really a suburb of Green Bay. It's just another community 30 miles away, 40 miles away. So I was doing that. I was going to be in that area. And with my mom not doing well, I was like, it ends up being the perfect week. And then I go out. I'm also in do Milwaukee, Minneapolis, and Des Moines, Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
So all those things, that's like my little Midwest run right there, as opposed to last week was a little more East version of the Midwest run. So
you mentioned it's kind of interesting that you do this because a lot of people had this theory last year with the Chiefs, how they were bored. And that looked like they were bored, just trying to go through the motions.
Yeah.
Do you ever have like a crowd that you know you don't need to get into your deep cuts to make them like laugh and roar, where you can just kind of play the B side of the album?
I kind of did that for 10 years. So I've gotten out of that. I've gotten myself out of that. But yeah, I've done that a lot of times. Because I wasn't having as much fun. I was doing a lot of the same stuff all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured that out for myself. you know, like I said, 10 years ago, and then I took a break and got away and wasn't doing many shows. And now I'm really enjoying it and creating a lot of different stuff. So it doesn't even matter if they're not giving me stuff. I'm going to throw out the new stuff anyways. And then it gets tested to see what it really is. It's like facing a pitcher who's got his stuff, you know, like they're throwing stuff at me and I'm like, geez, it's moving. You know, it's that looked the same. Those two pitches look the same and they cut two different ways. So that's really, I don't really mind. I'd rather them be really easy. And some of these weeknights or Sundays can be a little tougher, but they've been really good. My audience knows me and they come out to, they generally work for a living. So we have the shows earlier, 7 o'clock at night, shows done by 8:30. It's a clean show. So everybody can come to the show. That's been my past, but not right now, just being completely honest, it doesn't even matter. I'll find it. And we have four people on the show. Patrick, who's opening, who's here with me today, he's a headliner in his own right, and he's there working with me on writing. And then a couple of guys, another one who's an actual headliner, Al Jackson, and another guy who's a really good feature kind of, but those guys do like 15, 20 each. So it's a really packed show, even though I thought it was going to be tanking it a little more on some of the newer stuff, but it's been working because I can talk my way out of it with the different voices. So, it's been great. I mean, it's been really, really good.
Frank Caliendo with us. And what do you like look at as like this joke that you love and then it doesn't hit? You're like, damn, I thought that would be really good.
I don't know. I mean, there are some, trying to think what's some of the stuff I do because people know me so much for the sports. When I cut out and am not doing anything that's 100% sports, there are some people that can feel they don't get like the Avengers references if I'm throwing out a Chris Hemsworth, yes, of course, yes, or a Robert Downey Jr. kind of situation where you burp out the punchlines. So it's those will not do as well as I would like them to do with that audience because sometimes, you know, pop culture nowadays does cross over a lot more with sports. You have to. It's I think, just the way it works, it's more entertaining and keeps the audience going even when I think sports radio especially got that way a little bit more with COVID because there were no scores to report and you couldn't go as in-depth, so it became more everyday stuff people are talking about from a sports person's a sports fan's perspective.
To put that into perspective for you, doing those shows during COVID, you do whatever the hell you wanted, and it was I'm not gonna lie, it was good at times. Like you could just do it whenever you wanted, try stuff out.
No, absolutely.
Talk about marble racing. I think some llamas raced one time. Talk about that. Like,
yeah, I mean,
it freed
crazy.
You up to do kind of whatever you want. It was like a test ground.
Yeah, so
for
you're hoping for another.
I'm not. No
plague or something. You're hoping to really work on your new stuff. What I'm getting from you, Fesco?
I was really good with the being home type of thing, like with the introverted personality. I didn't mind staying at home and not having a lot to do.
I actually got I was bothered when things started opening up again. I'm like, now I I can't lie about not being able to go there anymore. I mean, that was one of my big things. Is I'm the type of person who's honest about stuff. They say you're going to come out with us tonight? No, I'm not doing it. And they look at me and like, at least you're honest. I go, yeah. And then they try to make fun of me. I'm like, I don't care. I'm fine with it. I just did. If I don't want to be, I'm not going to lie to you and tell you that I might be there.
Right.
So,
well, the might be there is the Midwest way of saying no.
Right. Correct. Yeah, absolutely. And I figure why not just say no? And it's just too much effort. And we'd be better friends if I don't go. That's why, because I'll be annoying and annoyed and annoying to you because you're not going to expect me to be that person. Because I can only be, I don't do the the on stage type of persona all the time.
No, you can't.
Some people do. Some people become like, I think it's like a salesman. Like salespeople, you have to get into that mode so much. It's like being an athlete in a lot of ways where you ever go to dinner with a car salesperson and they're like, you're like, can you pass the butter? And they start working a deal about how to do it. You're like, okay, I didn't know. Can I talk to my boss? No, you don't. Just pass the butter. We don't need to do something with the salt.
Right.
You're going to throw salt in? That's what you're going to do? All right.
Well, I don't have any butter. We have margin. I'm good, actually. You know what? Actually, we just had some inventory come in. Let me go back and check it real quick. There's always something around right, back. Right, like, there's always another.
There's always something we weren't going to show you.
What are you looking to spend here? About anywhere from like $4,000 to $6,000. Unfortunately, we don't have any of that. All right, thank you very much. You get like five paces to your car. You know what? Actually, what? Come in.
Give me a second. Give me a second. I just remembered that we can actually connect with other dealerships.
Yeah,
we can do that.
Right.
I mean, I can show you pictures. We could have it here in 2 days. Not going to be around. We can have it here in a day. We can pull it around. It's here. We can pull it around.
Scumbags. Frank Caliendo. He's got a show in Kansas City at the Funny Bone tomorrow night. We'll continue the 7 o'clock hour on their side of 96.5. The Fan, you're home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Bobby Witt Jr. and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5. The Fan.
Diving right back into it here on 96.5, The Fan. Getting a great opportunity to have one Frank Caliendo in studio on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5, The Fan. Mac Morey with us as well. We were kind of talking off the air. You know, we see athletes sometimes in big moments, you know, even like, you know, Mahomes, two interceptions, one's a pick six in the Super Bowl, and everybody wants to say, oh, man, maybe he's not, you know, whatever.
Right.
You know.
Like they said for Tom Brady for 10 years.
Yeah,
exactly. It's over.
Yeah, he got,
it's
done. You know, blown out by Joe Flacco in a playoff game. But either way, have you ever had, like, a situation where, like, maybe it fell flat and you had to revert to an audible or you had to do something different in your, you know, rapport of jokes?
Well, first of all, half my act is audibles.
Okay.
Half my act is throwing things out there that are 50-50 whether they're going to work and how do I get out of it. That's a part of the fun. But, yeah, when it first started out, I was doing, you know, shows at lunches in little directional schools all over the country. And things just don't work. And you just get that's part of just getting better. That's what people don't have anymore. I mean, it's interesting. The way comedy works is you come up through the ranks and you get beat down constantly in terms of the audiences in front of you, right? You got good, bad, whatever. They're different types of audiences, but you build up a thick skin in how to do your act. It's the opposite in sports. What has happened? We used to, when we were growing up, we practiced. Like we'd have baseball practice, we'd have soccer practice, basketball. Now they train. Mm-hmm. You train small movements, muscles, to react to those bigger movements and then, you know, and eventually have an action or whatever. But just the fact that we went from practicing to training nowadays is amazing to me. I remember when my son played a little bit of soccer, like what they do, they used to just have us run. Well, the soccer coaches around me, especially the higher level, like, why would you ever just run? Have a ball with you. Have a ball with you the entire time. And it's even the coaching, you know, with basketball. That's why the Europeans do so well. They teach everybody, no matter what size you are, how to have all the fundamentals of all the positions. And that's starting to come over here more now. So you're starting to see the 7-footers with all those different, you know, play at all three levels. So, yeah, I don't know. So to go back to your question, have things bombed? Yeah, I mean, it happens. For me, the audience is usually coming to see me now. I mean, it's tougher in a corporate event, and there are times when I don't love it when they're like, you're a surprise, and they tell me I'm a surprise for the corporate, for the company.
Well, that's a big surprise, really, you're thinking, right?
Like, it's to me, and last year they had Jay Leno or somebody. I'm like that's, I mean, that's a bigger surprise than me by far. So I don't know. I feel like I'd rather them know who I am. So yeah, I go in with the deck, you know, stacked in my favor a little bit, unless I'm not even sure if that's mixing a metaphor, but I have it on my side a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's good that way. And I would like to play a little broader, which I do sometimes, but as long as I have my core audience there, it tends to work overall because they're there to see certain things. It's amazing. I forgot to do Charles Barkley for most of the show, or two shows ago, and I hadn't gotten to Gruden until the end, and people start yelling it out. So I let people yell stuff out for the last 10 minutes on stuff I don't get to because I forget it sometimes.
Yeah, though that's interesting because I was going to ask you, like, do you do a grand finale of every voice everybody in at the end?
I did it in Vegas with a song, A Little Help from My Friends, because it seemed very Vegas-y. Yeah. But what I do is I will... have people yell stuff out and do a bunch of them differently. And sometimes I'll go from voice to voice. You know, they'll have yelled a bunch of things. And I start doing a John Gruden, doing Jerry Seinfeld. What are we doing? Adam Sandy shows up and Tracy Morgan tells you it's going crazy. And then Morgan Freeman says, we got to do it differently, sonny. That's what we're going to do right here. And then Adam Schefter says, according to my sources, at this particular time, it appears this is not what we're going to do. Mel Kiper times and saying his name at the beginning, talking about tremendous situation. At the end of the day, you'd be hard pressed to tell me otherwise.
That's awesome. They do the little help for my friends.
I know. Well, people, my band, I had a band there, and they would like play throughout the show in little pieces. But they would do, they'd yell something out. I don't even remember what it was, but if you gave me a name, give me a name.
John Madden.
What would you do if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Gruden,
lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song. And I'll try not to sing out of key. Jeff Goldblum, I get by with a little help from my friends. Ooh. John C. Reilly, I can try with a little help from my friends. Yeah. Adam Schefter,
all I need is somebody. I just want someone to love.
Mel Kiper. Oh, could it be anybody? I just want someone to love. Todd, Todd, Todd.
I have a theory that he's a vampire.
Mel Kiper Jr.?
Yeah.
See, I...
You've never seen him in daylight.
So it might be true. I think I may only have seen him at night.
He's always in a basement with like a light on. Hates garlic.
Hates garlic.
I mean, you've never seen him sleep because he's asleep when you're awake. Not
kind of like Santa Claus, yeah, too.
But like sucks your blood, doesn't give you gifts.
Right.
And even when he does a draft, he's inside. He's like never been outside in the light. He's a vampire. I call him Dracula.
Dracula? When I tell people who don't know him what he looks like, I say, picture in your mind, Sam the American Eagle from the Muppets and Count Chocula.
Oh, God.
So Count Chocula is a vampire-esque.
Yeah, but never seen him in daylight. I don't
Sam
know.
Sam the Eagle is... Unbelievable. Yeah.
And when we did the sketch, we did a sketch at ESPN where I did a sketch with the Muppets. One of my favorite things of all time. And Mel Kiper Jr. and Sam the American Eagle, and we turned to each other and then just turned away like, this is not a guy I want to be around. Berman was with the Swedish Chef. It was like, beep, 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 what was Miss Piggy was hanging out with Ron Jaworski, and that's why I truly believe you're the most beautiful starlet of all time. Kermit was who was Kermit? Kermit was hanging out with maybe Schefter or somebody.
Or Mahomes?
No, I didn't do.
I didn't have that one. Thanks a lot, and I think you guys are doing a great job.
Trying to think who Kermit. Kermit was one of the big ones I did. It was probably Schefter, but I took voices for the most part that were close to the voices, except for Piggy. I wanted Miss Piggy in there. I can't remember. I remember the ones that really hit though were Berman with the Swedish Chef because they have the same hands. But it was interesting to do that stuff with the Muppets because I didn't realize they build it so all the Muppeteers can stand up straight, and so the it's like a counter. You're always at a countertop, but everybody's standing. Nobody's ducking down. Everybody's just standing fully upright, and then you are too. So they had to put me on blocks because I'm short.
Like Tim Kirkchen on the baseball broadcast.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I tower over Kirkchen, by the way. I tower over him.
It's Frank. Where do you want me to stand at? See where that block is? Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, give me the Robert Downey Junior cement block, would you? That's a 3 apple boxes. What's that? 2 Smurfs? Good.
who's your Mount Rushmore comedians of all time?
Oh, I'd have to go with I'd go with history. I would go with Robin Williams, just because Robin Williams and Jonathan Winters were two of the most influential on me. Are they the best? I don't know, but that's what I always loved, was watching those guys switch characters and why I do what I do. Mm-hmm. Trying to think who else would be up there. I mean, people that I liked before I started doing comedy. I try not to watch any comedy now, really. I mean, if you were going to ask me, I'd say people like Dave Chappelle, because just the topics he handles and how he does it. And he gets ripped for playing a side on something. I was like, no, guys like he and Bill Burr are going back and forth on like over the top, you know, there's a line and they're going over it on all sides. Trying to think who else. I mean, sketch comedians affected me too. Farley, Belushi, any fat guy. Dana Carvey, huge. I mean, I didn't love the classic impressionists as much. I did when I was little, but it was one thing where it got kind of boring for me, like the vaudevillian impressionist. I was like, oh, you're going to talk like Inspector Clouseau for 6 minutes? Yeah, right. Let's get out of it and move into something else. But I think the sketch comedians, because they were doing lots of impressions, but I love the speed of comedians as well. And the Richard Pryors are important and people like that, but I'm sure I'm missing somebody, but I did like the David Tells and stuff like that before I got into it. Anybody who had a weird take? I didn't like people telling straight ahead jokes. I liked people with different cadences and odd, just people that kind of went off on tangents, which is what I do. That's what I really liked.
So you like any of the new age guys?
I don't watch many because I don't want to see what anybody's doing. I don't know.
That's fair.
You know, I've
worked. It's kind of like that with sports radio.
Yeah, I don't listen to a lot.
Listen to sports, you don't want to be influenced by what somebody else might be talking about.
Yeah, do you remember, you know, in the 90s, late 90s, I think it was when Jim Rome was everywhere and every sports guy was talking like this? You know, you don't want to have, like, I worked with Attell for a week, and by the end, I was talking like this. Yeah, sounds goody. Or you work with Brian Regan, and by the end, you're talking like Brian Regan. You know, gonna take a shower, okay? Right. Sounds good, donut lady. So it's tough for me, because if somebody had a cadence, I might pick up on the cadence. I don't want to have that cadence, because it starts to get in, you know, my brain, and then you start. There were in Minnesota, just north of here, I guess, Minnesota, the Dakotas, with Mitch Hedberg around, everybody was doing Mitch. There were like 50 guys who had the Mitch Hedberg cadence, and they weren't doing Mitch Hedberg type of jokes, but they had his cadence. Mm-hmm. And that just happens. And in D.C., lots of guys had the Dave Chappelle cadence early on. So that's why I stay away from, you know, what anybody else is doing and try not to watch too much, especially with me, because I'm a sponge in terms of a dialect or cadence or whatever you want to call it.
We're late to a break, but we're joined by Frank Caliendo, who'll be at the Funny Bone on Wednesday, the 16th, tomorrow. He's here with us on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
What the hell's wrong with your station?
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.